You have your program. I'd like to turn to the very back of your program, and on that back page, you'll see the scriptures and the message outline. We're going to follow very closely today. On that back page, you'll see the scripture, and our scripture comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And it reads, I'm reading it from the New King James Version, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." So I want to conclude our discussion. We've been, last 3 weeks now, we've been discussing abiding in Jesus Christ. And we've learned that we should follow Jesus Christ's commands if we're going to abide with him. We learned that we need to be close to him if we're going to abide with him. And today I want to try to lift up three aspects of what it means for you and I to abide in him. We're going to have these three elements that Apostle Paul lifts up today. And these three that I'm going to try to summarize their importance for us. Jesus Christ is sharing with us through his apostle what it's going to take for us to abide. And abide means to be close, to endure, to be able to remain with him. It's easy to start with Christ, but it's hard to abide with him, to remain with him. That's in spite of whatever else is going on in your life. We are called to abide in Jesus Christ. And so the apostle now shares with us as he's closing out this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he closes it with this 13th verse. And it is an important verse for us to make sure we have these three principal things that he lifts up. He says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love." So I'm going to try to talk about those three things and why we need them in our lives. And just as we were singing, "Lift Every Voice and Sing," I realized it says, one of the verses says, full of faith. And then it also says, and full of hope. And that is a part of what it takes to abide. You need faith and you need hope. And then lastly, you need love. So let me get into what the apostle was saying. Now abides faith. It's first part of your outline, now abides faith. And you need faith because faith, the Bible says, can move mountains. And you're going to have some mountains to climb in your life. There are going to be some difficult days. There are going to be some troubling days. There are going to be some days when it seems like the whole world is against you. And that's when you're going to need to have faith. Even seems like God isn't with you. You're gonna need faith. Because faith says, regardless of what I see or what I feel, I know God is with me. We get that from Job when he was going through so many struggles and troubles. Job was afflicted in his body, and he had lost all of his children. They had all died. And his wife said, "You are so sick, and God is so against you. Why don't you curse God and die?" You know that the Bible says the two shall become one. But half of that one says die. You're sickening to look at. And then in addition to being sickening to look at, it's a possibility that you might make me sick. And God trying to strike you, he might accidentally hit me. So won't you do everybody a favor? Just curse God and die. You know what Job says? I love Job because he has these immortal words, these words that will live until Jesus comes back. Job says, "I know my Redeemer lives." Even with the worms eating my body, I know the one that I've trusted in, the one that I believed in, the one that I have faith in, I know he lives. And I will see him at the latter day. Not only does he live, he's going to make me live. And my brothers and sisters, when times get tough, you need to have this I know faith. You ought not to wonder if God exists. That trouble is not the time to wonder if God exists. Trouble's the time that you need to hang on to and cling to the God that you know exists. You may not know what he's doing. You may not know why he's allowing you to go through this. But you do know that he is still God and he still reigns supreme. That's the conviction, that's the faith that we get from Job, that I know that my Redeemer liveth and that I will see him at the latter day. And my brothers and sisters, that's what faith does. It helps us to move those kind of mountains that come into our lives. Paul actually says it in this 13th chapter of Corinthians. He says, you can have faith that moves mountains. And that's oftentimes the kind of faith that we need as believers. We need to have that kind of faith that will move mountains. But not only that, my brothers and sisters, this faith, not only does it move mountains, but it also saves our souls. It saves that part of us that is eternal. Remember, God in the Garden of Eden breathed breath into us, and we became living souls. Well, your soul does not die. Whether you're a believer or not believer, your soul will not die. Your body will die, but your soul will not die. And so God now says, now I got a place for your soul, if you will believe in me. That eternal soul will continue to live if we will put our trust in Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says, we are saved by grace through faith. If you don't have any faith in God, then the grace isn't going to help you. You need to have faith in God. We are saved by grace through faith that God gives us. And so, my brothers and sisters, faith is essential. Faith is necessary. You won't be saved without faith. It is a walk of faith. The scripture teaches us we are saved by this faith. And so we need to make sure we have this faith in Jesus Christ, the faith that comes from above. The faith that God will introduce you to if you will hear him. Jesus says that every man, every woman, every teenager, every boy, girl, everybody that has ears, let them hear. Hear the faith of Jesus Christ calling you to come into his family. Hear what the Lord has to say. Faith, my brothers and sisters, comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need to have faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, now this is going to abide. Faith will abide. In other words, faith will be eternal. It's not going to die. Faith abides. Faith lives. Faith will get us to heaven, and then it will sustain us there. We need faith in our God. But not only does he mention faith, he says also hope. Hope is the second thing he mentioned, second part of the outline, now abides hope. And hope is essential. I remember in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, and you can't even hope for it if you don't have hope in God. Faith and hope are connected, because when faith is at its best, you see the evidence. But when faith is not at its brightest, when you can't see what faith is doing, then you have to have the hope that faith is going to do what it's supposed to do. It is, I don't see what I'm hoping for, but what I do know is my faith tells me God is still at work. We have to have this hope, in spite of the fact that we may not have evidence to back up the hope. Hope is, my brothers and sisters, trusting God when I don't have evidence that God is at work. He is my hope. He is the everlasting hope. He is the hope of every believer. We need to make sure when everything else isn't working, you need to make sure your hope and your faith are working. It's rare that you see faith without also seeing hope. But hope is there even when there's not evidence that faith is working. Oh, we still have to hope in our God. He is the God of the living hope. Our hope rests in who God is and what God has proclaimed to us he will do. And so we continue to hope in God. In spite of what might be going on in our country, in spite of what might be going on in our world, in spite of what you might be going through personally yourself, keep your hope in Jesus Christ. Now abides faith. Now abides hope. It is essential. It's not effective if it's not working right now. That's why Paul says, now abides. He's talking what they call kairos time. It is not necessarily a present tense time. It's beyond that. It is eternal time. God works in eternity. And a very small part of eternity is what's going on right now. What's going on right now is a very small part of what eternity engulfs. And so your right now situation is important, and it is God is aware of it, but God has bigger plans than just your right now. God is thinking and looking and planning 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, 1,000,000,000 years from now. And so God is looking at what we do. He is aware of what our situation is, but God is bigger than just what's going on in you right now. And hope, my brothers and sisters, is beyond our right now. It is at work now. But it stretches further than right now. You may have, as the Moors just got their first grandchild. You may have a grandchild. You may have a grandniece or grandnephew or some other relative of yours. What you may not know, or what you actually do not know, is what God is planning for those persons 1,000 years from now. God wants you to plant some seeds in them, and those seeds might not bud for several generations, but God is looking beyond just what's going on right now. When I was a teenager, I lost my brother that was closest to me. Got shot and killed, and it was still affects me to this day. But it was something that I've learned now over the passing of the years. And, of course, his birthday was just last week. It's in January. And I was reflecting on him and reflecting on our relationship. And God reminded me that in Christ, there is no death. Christ has taken the keys of death and hell. And Christ said, I've overcome even death. Reassured me that don't worry, you still miss him, but you'll see him again. You'll see him because he did confess Jesus Christ as his Lord. And my brothers and sisters, every person that confessed Jesus Christ and means it in their hearts. Read Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you shall be saved. Doesn't matter whether it was an accident. Doesn't matter whether it was a murder. Doesn't matter if you got burned up in a fire. If you confess Jesus Christ as Savior, you are saved. God is our Savior. He keeps us. Now, if you keep living, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring you back on the right track. You can't be his and he leave you out to do what's wrong. No, he's going to get you right. Doesn't matter how old you are. Gardner Davis is our oldest man here, but he's going to get Gardner Davis right. He's going to get Alvin Tunstall Jr. right. He's going to get you right. That's what our God does. He gets us right. We hope in God. But let me get to the last thing. I'm gonna finish with this. The apostle says, but the greatest of these is love. Now, faith abides, hope abides, but the greatest of these is love. And I want you to know, 1 John talks to us about, it says that God is love. Nowhere in the scripture does it say God is faith. No, he is the God of faith, but he doesn't describe himself as being faith. He describes himself as being love. God is love. And God is love because our love, as a part of its essence, is always looking to be a blessing. That's love at its essence is, how can I bless somebody else? If you fall in love, then you fall in love. I hate to use this expression with regards to God's love, because our love can change. You can fall in love, you can fall out of love. But God doesn't speak of love as something he fell into. God speaks of love as something that God is. God is love. He didn't fall into it. And you don't have to worry about him falling out of it. And whatever you do with your life, and I have done things that I know God was not happy with, I know God was not pleased with, but I also knew, but I got a God that loves me. And because he loves me, he has not cast me out. But the Bible does say, the one God loves, he also corrects. He disciplines. And I got a lot of discipline from God. But the discipline comes that it might help me to draw closer to his love and to respond. You know, if your heart is cold, your heart won't respond to the love of God. And so what God has to do some, what my grandmother used to call warming up. Oftentimes, grandma would do it with a switch. This is to warm you up. But the warming up was that you might hear and recognize the consequences when you don't do what God has already said is right to do. If we decide we're going to do it our way, and we're not going to do it God's way. God said, well, that means I got to warm you up. The awesome God lets every believer go through some hardships and go through some things that will correct our behaviors. God taught me I didn't have to curse. I used to think I had to. Folks I'm dealing with, they don't respond to nothing but a good cursing out. So, no, God said, no, I'm going to teach you you don't have to curse, and I'm going to teach you to say it out of your own mouth. I don't have to do that. When God gets it in your spirit, God gets it in your heart, he's going to let every type of calamity, every type of heartache, every type of trouble there until you say, God, I want to do it your way. If you don't believe me, then go to the Old Testament and ask a man named Jonah. God was sending so much trouble. That Jonah said, he was in that big fish's belly, he said, I'm going through hell. And then the Bible said, then he remembered, in the midst of going through hell. You know, these fish, they have acids in them that will start to digest the food. And so Jonah could start hearing that acid. Pretty soon it's going to start working on him. And he cried out, he remembered, I got a God I can call on. And the Bible says when he called on the name of God, God had that well then vomit him out. It was an ugly term. It was throwing him up. My dad used to say, even the devil didn't want him. I mean, see, God just put it where it couldn't nobody else take him but God. And God wants to do what he did with Jonah. He's going to do that with you. If you a child of God, God's going to bring you to the point where you say, God, I want to do it your way. That's what God does. And he does it out of love. It's tough love. It's not a fuzzy type of love. It's not a romantic type of love. It is a tough love, but it is a love that will endure. It's a love that will bless us. I'll close with this. John 3:16, most of you know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life, will live eternally. God gave out of his own love. He loved me. He loved you. He loved this world. It didn't say he loved the church. It said God so loved the world. He loved all this world. And he gave out of that love. And if you and I will receive Jesus Christ as the love of God and embrace him and bring him into our hearts, then God has promised we'll live forever. He gives us eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Do you want to live with God? Do you want to make your way to heaven? Then give yourself to God. He promises eternal life. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, young adult. We invite you to come. We open the doors of the church. We invite you to receive Jesus Christ.